Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here. Happy Friday here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clint Yates will stop by for a half an hour. We'll chat with him about a number of things, including the NBA finally giving us the plan. Well, not them, but Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps discovering what the plan would be in a bubble situation. There's some interesting things that could go right or could go wrong that I want to discuss here and outline in a second. So we'll get to that. Andre Snellings, who is our premier NBA analytics guy, is going to join us to talk about the Lakers, the Clippers, and we'll talk some Last Dance with him. He's got some cool numbers on all those things. And then, of course, our weekly movie review with Ben Lyons. We are doing a couple of different things with him this week. We're going to do a few movie selections with him, but mostly we do a top five list with Ben. And in that top five list this week, we're going to do top five music artists in a movie. So there you have it. So maybe it's Tupac on the list. Maybe it's not. We'll see. Maybe Janet Jackson's on the list. Maybe Janet Jackson's on the list with Tupac. We'll find out. But anyway, he's going to join us at 11:30, and we'll talk to him about The Last Dance as well. But real quick, this segment's brought to us by Straight Talk Wireless, running on the same network as the big boys, saving you up to 50%, though. Getting the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. So here's the deal with the NBA situation. So, as I mentioned earlier, Tim Bontemps and Brian Windhorst released a story. It's on ESPN.com right now. It came out overnight this, you know, tonight. Like, it came out like at 3 or 4 in the morning here on the West Coast. And it talks about how the NBA bubble would work. So clearly, there are a number of things that you already know. For example, testing. We've talked about this a million times here on the show. Testing. Testing is a must, okay? And you're talking about needing, according to the report here from Woj, who also contributed to this, is that the NBA would need approximately 15,000 tests, okay, to get through whatever they plan on doing, whether that's a truncated regular season, whether that's a playoff-only scenario. They're going to need about 15,000 tests, and that's just for players and essential staff at the moment. So there could be more, depending on if they allow families to join them in this bubble, if the bubble gets the green light. So that's where this starts. It's testing, which is not a big surprise. So here are some of the things that have popped up that are potential concerns or question marks or whatnot. So I'm glad that we're all doing this, right? Because I think it's important for everyone to kind of know what the potential parameters for this thing would be. So let's start with some of the concerns. One of the concerns would be how long this experiment would take. Okay? At the moment, there are 259 regular season games remaining. I don't believe there's any way in hell they're going to play the 259 regular season games that are remaining. Maybe they play, as I mentioned, some sort of truncated schedule where each team plays five or six games just to kind of get them into a flow or whatever. But that's just kind of the reality of the situation, okay? Is it's probably going to be in some way, shape, or form a small regular season, or maybe just dive into the playoffs. I think this is what I would do, and I've said this all along. Forget the regular season. I'd rather have teams have an extended training camp and be ready and scrimmage against each other and feel like they've sharpened each other to the point where they can jump out, because that way teams are going to be at the same level, basically. There's not going to be a huge disadvantage from one team to the next if you're playing just scrimmages. Because if you end up playing regular season games, what's the magic number? Do you got to get to 70? Well, if you got to get to 70, some teams only play five games. Some teams play six games. Some teams play seven games. Some teams play four games. So there's going to be a disadvantage there competitively. So forget the regular season. Just dive head first into the playoffs. It's what I've said all along. Give me, if you need 21 days, 25 days to get ready for that, then so be it. I'll take that. And I bet you, you know what? You listening would take that too. Okay? Because here's the thing. If you play the regular season, even a truncated version, you're talking about potentially 55 to 60 days or maybe more if you're going to do the regular season and the playoffs. If you're just doing the playoffs, you're talking about somewhere between 20 and 25 days. So you're limiting, number one, the contact of the amount of people that are there, which we'll get to. There's a number that's already been kind of discussed about when it comes to the number of people there. But you're cutting the teams in half, you're limiting the amount of people, and you're narrowing the window that if someone else gets, or a team, not just someone else, because they've talked about, you know, potentially quarantining one person, but if you have a rampant issue with the virus, then you potentially could pause and start again because you've got more runway. If you're the NBA, you need to give yourself the most runway possible. And if you're just tuning in and don't know what I'm talking about, Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps have a story out this morning kind of detailing how the NBA bubble would work. So the first thing would be the schedule. If you play the full schedule out, it's at least 55 days, more than likely well over 2 months. If you're just doing the playoffs, it's going to be a month or less. So I think that's the smartest thing to do. So here are some of the concerns. The age concerns for some people. For example, there are two teams that would have coaches that are above the 65-year-old threshold where people have their immunities compromised, particularly when it comes to this particular virus. Guys like Mike D'Antoni, guys like Greg Popovich, are they going to be allowed to coach? Will it be on them to coach or not? How do you deal with that kind of stuff? Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing is, are you doing solo or are you doing families? Well, right now, according to Windhorst and Bontemps in this story, the league has rejected doing this without families for now, in hopes that there are more tests available, that there is more advancement from the medical community to allow players to be able to quarantine with their immediate family. So LeBron would be there with Bronny and the kids and Savannah, and that's it. So that makes some sense. However, there's talk, look, if we get to a point of no return, you may have to do it solo. Now, Chris Paul is quoted in this story. Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association. And he said, there's so many layers that would have to come into play for a bubble to ever happen. We would have to know exactly what that would look like. And there are a lot of hypotheticals out there. But as of now, the NBA has said, no, we want the guys to be with their family if they have families. Now, again, that can change. None of this is written in stone by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll move on. What's the next thing? Where to stay? Is it one hotel location? Nah, not so fast. You would think that's easy, right? I'll give you the example that I've laid out numerous times before. One of the assignments I have for ESPN alongside my NBA assignments is I call the G League Showcase with PJ Carlissimo, which is basically a tournament style situation for the G League right before Christmas. They do it at the Mandalay Bay. They have two courts and three practice courts, and they play games simultaneously. Boom, boom, one after the other. And all the teams stay on the Mandalay Bay properties. 28 teams. So that sounds like a good idea, but when you talk to the CDC and the health officials, they're like, yeah, that actually would be a problem because you don't want guys and teams necessarily all in the same hotel because the spread, if it happens, could happen much faster. At best, you want them on different floors, but absolutely you'd prefer them on different properties, which means Vegas, probably not the case, which is why this Disney World situation is picking up steam. Because at Disney World in Orlando, the hotels are separated, but they're not that far from each other. They're within walking distance, most of them. So there's that, right? So that's why the Disney World situation has picked up. Beyond that, how many people do you need? Well, the teams normally travel with 40 to 50 people. And in the playoffs, it could be up to like 70 or 75. So this, according to the league memo that came down that Windhorst and Bontemps and Woj got in this story that's on ESPN.com, they're saying that they've told teams to keep it under 30, that their travel parties need to be under 30. And then beyond that, beyond the teams, how many people are essential for something like this that are deemed essential? Well, according to Woj, Bontemps, and Windhorst in this story, they're saying you need NBA personnel, right? The league personnel. You need refs. You need TV production people. You need hotel personnel, security, transportation, medical people, etc., etc., etc. You're talking about 1,500 total people. That's a lot of people. So I think they can pull all this thing off, but it is absolutely going to be a challenge. And it's why the location, I think, matters as much as anything else, which is why I think the Disney World thing, as we had yesterday with Shams Charania reporting and Woj having that story today, last night as well, how that's picking up steam. But if you want to see the details of what I'm talking about here, go check out the story on ESPN.com with Windhorst Bontemps. It's up on the site. It's up on the app. You can see it for yourself. It's got way more detail than I outlined. But the reality is this. To me, the biggest point of contention, like all those essential people, fine. You need it, fine. If you need a place that has that, if you need a place that can't be just one hotel, and you're worried about Vegas and them potentially opening, fine. Disney World, you can shut it off. It's a 39-mile radius. There's an entrance in, an entrance out. You can quarantine it. You can literally make it a bubble in a biosphere, and just skip the regular season. You know what? If Steve Kerr doesn't want to play in the regular season, so be it. Fine. If Zion doesn't make the playoffs because he's five games out, sorry. Next year, Pelicans, we'll miss you. We'll see you next season. Which gets me to next season. The NBA calendar, the new NBA calendar, is out. And Bobby, well, not out. Bobby Marks has come up with, our ESPN NBA front office insider, what the NBA new calendar would look like. And clearly the NBA wants to start the season next year, or this, you know, next season in December or January. And he's kind of outlining all of it, which would change the way we do free agency. Free agency would start September 1st. He's talking about how the draft would be after free agency, which, by the way, should have been the case a long, long, long time ago, right? But if you're Anthony Davis, now you've got to amend your contract. Potentially, because clearly July 1st is not going to be the date for Anthony Davis. Now, I don't think that changes things very much for Anthony Davis, because I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to be a Laker. But that's just one of the things you have to do and you have to deal with. But of all the things that are outlined here in the Bobby Marks article, which is also on ESPN.com and the ESPN app, is you're talking about the final starting in August, which I'm fine with, everything being pushed back 2 months, basically. And the draft being before free agents, or excuse me, the draft being after free agency, which makes all the sense in the world, because then, like Greg Bergman, you can draft for need. You don't need to draft best player available if you don't want to. Although, as Jerry West always says, that's the way you should go. And I'm going to list the Jerry West over one young Greg Bergman. Sorry, Greg Bergman. I'm okay. I hope you're okay with that.
I'm going to listen to Jerry West, too. I think that's the right call.
Okay, so there's all of that. So that's the stuff being outlined, and then you'd have, like, instead of summer league, it would be fall league. It would be played in October. But I think everybody would be in on that. I think that nowadays with mobile phones and people watching on apps and stuff like that, this notion that just because people are quote-unquote on vacation in the summer, and by the way, chances are not going to be a lot of people on vacation this summer, that you're going to get a lot of TV viewing anyway. And by the way, in the summer, kids can watch. Like, it just makes it easier for kids to watch, which has always been a huge problem when it comes to the NBA, is that even though it's a young person sport, young people can't watch all that often because they've got to deal with school. So all these things are out there. I want to get to you guys, 877-710-ESPN. Starting with the first story. Are you okay with just going right to the playoffs? Extended training camp, right to the playoffs. Can we just skip the regular season at this point? We can eliminate people from having to be at this bubble event, and we can make this a little more efficient. And you can finish the season more quickly. You can give the guys rest to be ready for next season. And it gives us a longer runway to next season. To me, it's a no-brainer, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. And also, the potential new NBA calendar. The draft after free agency. How do you like that? We'll get to that. Plus, Cam Newton to the Rams? All that stuff coming up in just a moment. Sedano, 710 ESPN, back and forth. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Clinton Yates will stop by in just a few moments. ESPN Radio here on 710, presented again by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at progressive.com today. And it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So I want to get to your calls here real quick on this NBA story that broke this morning. About what it would take to have the bubble city return. Do you want, like me, just to go right to the playoffs? Because if basically the report outlines that if we do the regular season, even a smaller version of it, it could take up to 2 months to do both playoffs and regular season. I just don't think that that's prudent. I just don't think that makes any sense at this point. Just give me the shortest thing. Eliminate teams, eliminate the possibility by half of people getting affected by this, and let's go. Let's move forward and do it at Disney World, because even Greg Bergman has realized, Greg Bergman, who's never been to Disney World, did some research and found out what?
That there are 25 Disney Resort hotels at Walt Disney World.
Correct.
And there's, if you go directly to the playoffs, then that's only 16 teams that you need. So they each get their own hotel.
Right, and they're mostly within walking distance, and they can get, it's just easier, and you can quarantine that area very easily. As I mentioned, there's one way in, one way out. But you're eliminating a month if you just go right to the playoffs. I'd rather have an extended training camp and make sure everyone's ready and let everyone be on a level playing field, and let's go.
So I like the idea originally of a 7-10 tournament to let, you know, teams like Portland and the Pelicans try and play their way.
Fine. If you want to do that, go ahead.
But then you said something earlier at the beginning of the segment that
the advantage,
made me change.
Right.
Yeah, the advantage. They would have a competitive advantage, and that can't be there. So I at that point, then I just wanted to go right to the playoffs. You've convinced me.
Yeah, let's go right to the playoffs. Let's do it. Even the tournament thing, I get why they would want to do it, because they'd want to experiment with it. But I do think it would create an inherent advantage. Let's go to David in Brentwood. David, what's up? Hey, David. David.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, bud. What do you got?
Hey, you know what? I'm a big Lakers fan, and I think what you guys have been saying is great, but earlier, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was listening, and I totally think that the season should end where it's at, and they should just go into maybe like a couple of like scrimmage games, like look at the top team of who play the most. Like, let's say there's six games, you know, if the top team has six games more than everybody, throw in six games just to give the guys that extra practice against each other, count those towards the stats, and let's get right into the playoffs.
Here's the thing. You're just, David, my only problem with that, and I appreciate the call, and thank you. The only problem with that is you're extending this window. And, like, I don't think you, I wouldn't take the chance of extending the window any further than you have to. And I would also just eliminate teams. Like, just eliminate them. This is a weird season. It's a weird scenario. And you know what? We've played 60-something games, okay? We played as many games as we had in the lockout shortened season, for the most part, in 2011 or whatever it was. So if you didn't make it, too bad. Like, it's on you at this point. I do understand your scrimmage and your practice stuff, but if you're just going to scrimmage, you can't count that for real stats. Like, you can't. You can't do that. So let's go to Nirav in the Valley. What's up?
Hey, I was thinking, you know, you got to think about the financials, right? These teams that just get eliminated, how do they split up the money? So why not do a 1-16 seed East and West, best of three until you get down to the top eight teams in each conference, then you go to the normal playoff structure.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that because, and by the way, they're getting their money anyway, Nirav, and thank you for the call, because they're getting the TV money no matter what. Like, that's not changing. And they're going to get their share of the playoff money because every team gets that. So I don't think that that's necessarily going to be an issue. I don't think that that's going to be an issue at all, to be honest with you. So I don't think, like, they were going to be eliminated. They're not getting playoff money. So now, like, what are they really missing out on? If there's, let's say, 14, 15 games left in the season, at best, they'd have 7 or 8 home games that they would miss money out on. Okay, everyone's doing that. Everyone's going to miss money when it comes to that. And they weren't getting playoff money as far as gate and revenue anyway. So, like, I just don't see that being a viable option, to be honest with you. I just eliminate them. Let's go. Be efficient. So, the other thing I wanted to get into here real quick was Cam Newton to the Rams. So, Louis Riddick, who is a former front office guy and former player in the NFL, they were talking on Get Up about where Cam Newton could go and who Cam Newton would help the most. And Louis Riddick dropped the Rams. Let me hear this.
I think Cam has, on paper, theoretically, a couple intriguing options. Obviously, we've already talked about Jacksonville. That's an intriguing option for him from a structural standpoint, meaning, or rather from a roster standpoint, because you're not going to tell me Cam Newton can't compete with Gardner Minshew. I mean, of course he can. It'd just be a matter of whether Jay Gruden, a new offensive coordinator down there, likes Cam's style, thinks as though that would be a good fit, because they are a run-centric offense, play-action-pass type offense that would fit Cam perfectly. The other team that would make a lot of sense on paper to me, that isn't an obvious starting job, obviously, is the LA Rams. Sean McVay, Cam Newton, I think would be a perfect fit, theoretically and philosophically. Again, run-centric offense. Everything runs through the running back. Play-action pass, movement passes, boots, rollouts. That would be, I mean, Sean would have an absolute field day with that.
Now, I get what Lewis is saying, but I don't buy that. And here's why. Because I actually think that Sean would have to kind of create a little bit of a different offense for Cam. Now, look, I look at what Norv Turner was able to do for Cam, and I think he made him better. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that Cam's biggest problem is health, right? Like, we clearly can all relate to that being the issue. I just don't know if historically I would feel comfortable with his body at this particular juncture. Now, if you want to bring him in as the backup, I guess, but I don't even believe that would be the way to go. Here's why. I mentioned a couple weeks ago with Clinton Yates, ironically, right? Or coincidentally, that I thought Cam, if he's going to go do a backup situation, he should go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because Ben Roethlisberger is clearly the guy. He's a Hall of Famer. He does get hurt, right? Like, he's getting up in age and he's getting hurt. So Cam may get some playing time. But if you bring him into a situation with Jared Goff, who, yes, he went to a Super Bowl a couple years ago, but there's plenty of people not sold on Jared Goff around NFL circles. You are bringing in a shark into the waters. And I'm not saying that Cam is the particular shark. I'm saying the media is a shark in this situation. Because they're going to be like, wait a second. Why are you letting a guy who, you know, is a system quarterback play over a guy who was an MVP? You're going to have those conversations. Even though I do think that Goff is a better fit than Cam in Sean's particular system. I'm not willing to take the gamble that Sean would have to change everything for him. And yes, I know that Cam Newton historically also has not been the most accurate of passers, even though his one season with North Turner, albeit a lot of injuries, in the 14 games he played, he did complete 68% of his passes. But most other years, Cam is under 60%. So I just don't think that you have enough accuracy when it comes to Cam to play the Sean McVay system. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but nonetheless, I just feel like you're creating a huge stir for Jared Goff, Sean McVay, from a media perspective. And there's one thing we know about NFL teams is they don't like distractions. And look, the Rams have been a team that, under this particular regime, have not worried about chemistry and bringing in players with big personalities, but not in the quarterback room. I feel like that changes the dynamic way more than bringing in a defensive back or a defensive tackle or whatever that may have a big personality. It's just not the same deal. Bergman, would you be okay with Cam Newton coming in even as a backup? Because I think that could be disastrous.
No, that's a complete and utter disaster. There's no way that would work. From the second you hit it right on the head, the media would go absolutely crazy over it. And imagine one interception. Oh, Cam wouldn't have thrown that interception. Oh, Cam wouldn't have dropped the ball there when he got sacked. There's no chance it actually works. And you're right. He fits in a place like Pittsburgh or even Tampa Bay, where he can just be a backup to a guy that's going to be there, not going to be dethroned at all, and there's no reason to ever have media discussion around it.
Right, and it gets him kind of back in a place where, look, I think Pittsburgh makes the most sense because I think Ben's going to retire soon. Like, I know that he's talking about playing for more than one more year, but I don't buy that. He's been talking about retirement for years, and I actually think Cam in Pittsburgh with Tomlin, with the style that they play, with the, in theory, the way that that organization has, there's as much stability as any, really, in that particular sport. I feel like that's a great home for him. I'm not saying the Rams don't have stability, but the Rams have a young quarterback who's still, to some extent, somewhat unproven.
Yeah, no, you're right. It actually, Pittsburgh is a really good spot. And with the Rams, he's going to want money, and they just don't have that type of money.
Well, I don't think he's in a situation to dictate money at this point, because I just don't know how much money there is anywhere.
I don't think Rams have that much money, period. I think
there's that too.
Yeah,
there's that too.
So they can't even pay him anything.
Yeah.
So unless they want to give him the league minimum.
So coming up next, I want to get into the discussion we had about the NBA season. If you missed it earlier, Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps, and Woj have stories up on ESPN.com about how the bubble city would work. Basically, they're saying that a regular season and playoffs could take about 2 months or more. And if you just do the playoffs, it's basically less than a month. So I'm like, let's go. Less than a month. Like, give me the shortest window, the most efficient way to do this possible. So we'll talk to Clinton about that. We'll talk to Clinton about the potential new NBA calendar that Bobby Marks has out. And also, Giannis is weighing in on a couple of things, including The Last Dance. And I want to get into how the Lakers, Bucks, and Clippers particularly have one thing in common. We'll talk to Clinton about that. We'll tell you what it is in a couple seconds. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clinton Yates going to join us here in just a sec. We've got some baseball news that dropped a little while ago as well that we'll touch upon. This segment brought to you by our friends at My Computer Career, training for a better life. And of course, if you're missing baseball, speaking of baseball, tune in tomorrow night for an MLB Classic, Game 2 of the 2017 World Series between the Astros and Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 5 Pacific right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN 710, and the ESPN app. So we'll have that for you there. Clinton Yates giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Clinton Yates, a couple of things. Did you read the Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps piece about what it would take to be in a bubble city for the NBA?
I did, sir.
Okay, so here are the things that stuck out to me, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. Let's start with just kind of the basis of how this would work from a basketball perspective, the schedule part of it. So either you do the regular season or some truncated version and the playoffs, and you're talking about 50 plus days, right? 50, 55, maybe more. Or right. If you just cut the fat and say, let's just go right into the playoffs, maybe do an extended training camp, all of a sudden you're talking about a month or less. Like, to me, that's the runway you want, because if there are any hiccups, you still have time to pick up potentially, because you're talking about less games and less things to worry about and less people to worry about.
I also think that it has to do with the next season as well. Like, you know, the more you can do in the shortest amount of time, considering what we know about predictability going forward, is what you have to do, you know, and that's where a lot of this becomes, I think, really tricky. I heard you talking with Greg earlier about, like, well, you know, playoffs versus regular season and, you know, the weighted schedule and so forth. I think that if you're going to be that concerned about getting this season done at all, you have to make sure that what your clear goals are. Now, like, are your goals to name an MVP? Are your goals to name a title winner? Are your goals to get people back to basketball games? Because if it's just to finish the season, I think you go straight to the playoffs. I'm with you 100% on that, George.
Yeah, man. I just think, like, just cut the fat. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Let's go. And if Steve Kerr is already talking about being in off-season mode, all right, Steve, I love you, but you can stay where you're at. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, we'll just move forward with everyone else.
That's why it's difficult, too, because I think a lot of people, you know, look, we've all been stuck inside, not really sure what we're looking at in terms of the runway and in terms of what we're going to get as a product. And so if you're the NBA, you got to tell people, our goal is to finish the season and name a champion, you know, and not our goal is to balance a schedule or make sure that stats are okay for the long run or whatever next season is going to be. You got to tell folks, because this generalized notion of, well, sports are going to come back, therefore you're going to be happy. We don't know that. If everybody's out in quarantine in Disneyland, you know what? The product might not be what you think it is. So I think they've just got to make sure that they let people know, here's what we're trying to do, here's what you're going to see, and here's the best version of it we got.
Yeah, let's go. And Disney World, look, Woj talked about, right, like some teams worry about young players in Vegas, especially if they reopen. To me, if Vegas reopens, they're out. Like, there's no chance in hell that I'm going there if I'm the NBA.
Absolutely not. But the Disney World option, yo, I'm not going to be, I hate to be so Hollywood about this, but if they're going to do that, and whoever these teams are, like the Lakers are talking about opening up their practice facility and so forth, as are a lot of the, other states where you can do this, show me everything. Like, I'm going to need this to be the biggest content wheel that we've seen in a long time. If you've got 16 teams roaming around Disney World, I know that the numbers are difficult and it's going to be tricky to be safe. But the way they present that, I think really could, well beyond the basketball, actually be really fun and educational in terms of what teams are doing in order to try to prevent people from spreading this stuff. I think there's a lot to be said here for how they share everything that they get done underway beyond just the basketball. And I'm intrigued to see how that happens whilst this process is, you know, done to make decisions.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing was Bobby Marks's calendar story, which is fascinating too, which, by the way, has one thing that sticks out. It's basically moving everything 2 months. Like, that's the most basic way to describe it. But the one significant change, which I think should have been done years ago, which is the way the NFL does it, which is free agency, then the draft. I've never understood the draft before free agency thing.
I think it's always been something to sort of protect a certain type of player, but I'm with you. I mean, it makes so much more sense, and it's the way everybody else does it. It's one of those things that's just slightly wonky enough, I think, for hyper NBA people, but because transaction Twitter is basically what so many people care about now,
right?
You know what I mean? Beyond basketball, it's such a big deal. But yes, that's a big change, but the schedule change would be big, man. I mean, just think about what fall would look like overall if the NBA didn't start until December, you know? Like, football would kind of end, basketball would pick right up where you need it, then you'd have late summer. It would be a totally different scale. I actually think, now that we've looked at it, it might be a little bit more fun, George. I know that would change your vacation schedule, you know what I'm saying? But
I'm good with it. I'm not taking a vacation this summer anyway, which is funny because I was talking about that earlier where I said, I know people in the past have wondered about, well, in the summertime, would you have less viewership when it comes to the playoffs? Today, with smartphones and tablets and people watching wherever they want to watch, like, you're still going to get the same amount of people. And I actually think kids would be more interested in watching because they don't have to worry about school when the playoffs starts in April, because you're basically ending the finals concurrently with generally where school ends. So now kids would be able to watch the entire playoffs in this scenario.
Not to mention, for all those of us who grew up playing sports at a relatively serious level in high school, you go to sports camps during those times. How cool would it be to be hanging out with your squad, doing things like that, watching actual fun basketball while you're at basketball camp? That's NBA. Oh, come on. I mean, the possibilities for what could be if the NBA decided to take the chunk of summer that they already take off and make it their own would be incredible. Of course, you're going up against baseball, but that's I don't know how much those two things are even conflicting in sports markets right now in terms of the average fan. So to me, I like the schedule change, but potential. I think it could be smart, and I think that this is as natural a way to get to it as anything else, and nobody's going to be that upset.
100%. I agree 100%. All right, coming up next, Cam to the Rams and Giannis. Giannis weighing in on a couple of things, including The Last Dance, and how Giannis and the Bucks, LeBron and the Lakers, and Kawhi and the Clippers have one thing in common. We'll get to all that with Clinton coming up. We're back in less than 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates hanging out with us. If you missed one of our interviews today, including that last segment with Clinton, go check out our interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate five times higher than the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined, and what's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN television, and the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account following the broadcast, so right at 8 o'clock, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. Speaking of The Last Dance, I want to get to the Cam to the Rams thing in a second, because Clinton, you and I actually last week, or we, or maybe 2 weeks ago, were talking about Cam. But
we did.
The Last Dance thing is interesting, because Giannis apparently has weighed in on The Last Dance, and it'll allow me to talk about a couple of things when it comes to the Bucks that I think is coincidental with the Lakers and Clippers. But here's Giannis's takeaway from The Last Dance. Chasing greatness is a lifetime mission. Now, I think right now we're at a stage where we're all reading tea leaves. And I guess if I'm a Bucks fan, I feel good about those comments. But if I'm the rest of the NBA, maybe I'm like, I may need to do a little more wooing if he hits free agency. But ultimately, I do think that this is eye-opening for a lot of people, particularly young guys like him who never saw him play.
You know, and I also wonder, too, like whether or not the basketball impact of Jordan from more than just a marketing level is getting changed for especially guys that are from overseas. Like,
yeah.
Think about it. Who you knew of Michael Jordan, you got a lot of Dream Team, you got a reasonable amount of NBA, but you got a lot of Air Jordan. A lot of what you took in from him, you know, I understand that the internet has changed that a lot, but in terms of what the basketball influence is, I imagine there's a good amount of dudes on rosters that are like, whoa, I never really necessarily heard him spoken of by his peers in the way that they did about the way that he approached the game, more generally than just he was a hawk or he was, you know, super focused. You know, like they break it down in terms of the things that he did. And so this doesn't surprise me. I would not be at all surprised if a lot of these dudes came out of this just different players because they've learned something about, you know, the person they consider to be the best player of all time in their lives.
Yeah. And you basically will adjust your own, workflow based on what you're seeing there. Like you could adapt kind of some of the things you're doing that he did to, you know, more modern day regimen or whatnot. But I think that there's a lot of that that can be done. And obviously the mental aspect, as you pointed out, I think
and
changes
that's not right.
a ton.
I mean, right here, Kobe Bryant is the example of the person who did that the best.
Correct.
You know, I mean, I don't think that's a big knock on anything. The reason why Kobe Bryant was tremendous was because he was, frankly, a more athletic player than Michael Jordan, arguably a smarter player, and he got to watch him play and modeled his game after him and built things upon that as well, which is why 8-24 was so great as he was. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing we haven't seen before. Whether or not guys can do that or hone in on the same things, probably not. Not everybody is Kobe Bryant, but the point is I understand where Giannis is coming from here. Greatness is a lifetime goal. It's not just something about winning one championship with one franchise in one city.
For sure. But let's kind of get into the stuff about his future, because if they don't play a season, let's say, you know, the doomsday scenario does happen, I feel like the teams that lose out the most are the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, for that matter, because for a number of reasons. Giannis, because you lose one opportunity at trying to win a championship before he hits free agency, which means if I were him, I don't know how you feel about this, I wouldn't sign the Supermax extension until I knew if I could win a championship with the Bucks, right? Because that's what we're all judged on. And I know people have said Giannis is different, but I don't buy that. I think that, you know, there was reporting done by Malika Andrews almost two seasons ago now that stated that his people needed to feel like they could win a championship there if he was going to stay there. Then, of course, the Lakers, for obvious reasons, too, the window with LeBron, he's 35, he's going to be 36. Yeah. Like, how much longer does that go? And then the Clippers, because they're on a contract timeline, too. Those guys could opt out, Kawhi and Paul George, after two seasons. So, to me, those are the three teams that absolutely need a season to conclude this year because they would have some sort of resolution, potentially, or some hope for the future.
Let me rank those. To me, the Lakers are the number one team that loses the most.
Agreed.
It's not even close. Because of LeBron, because of everything that happened, because of what they got back to. And I mean everything that happened in terms of front office shenanigans with the roster. I'm not even talking about the tragedy that happened with Kobe. I'm talking about from a basketball standpoint where they were. They got so far ahead in terms of progress made on the court and off the court. For this to all go up in a situation that was just so unfortunate would be the biggest loss for sure. Now, for the Clippers, it's unfortunate because of exactly what you said. You're running out of time, and the team is that good. This isn't just sort of happenstance. They finally built to something, and if their schedule runs out, it's difficult. But I think the Bucks, at this point, I think a lot of people think that they're probably going to lose Giannis anyway, and I think that Giannis's interests are different than the Bucks's there as well. Sure, it'd be great for Giannis's career if he could get one before free agency, but ultimately, that NBA title is probably worth more to Milwaukee than it's ultimately going to be to Giannis should he get more than one, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I'm him, I'm that worried about it. But think about it this way too, George. Doug, this money ain't necessarily going to be the same going forward. And if people are throwing out supermaxes, it's not going to be easy to just say, I'm good on that. You know what I mean? When contracts, we have no real idea how this is going to change the way a lot of things are affected from salary cap to anything else. So, look, Giannis, I think, would be in a better position. Rather, the Bucks would be in a better position to deal with Giannis if they played out this season, because the likelihood that they won the title was as high as anything else. But I don't think for Giannis it's as tricky as a situation as it is for the franchise he plays for.
Fair enough. I want to move on because I want to get your thoughts on Cam Newton to the Rams, that Lewis Riddick dropped on Golic and Wingo. Laura, if you have a second there, let Clinton hear the audio. He starts talking about Jacksonville, but he gets into the Rams after a few seconds. Go ahead.
I think Cam has, on paper, theoretically, a couple intriguing options. Obviously, we've already talked about Jacksonville. That's an intriguing option for him from a structural standpoint, meaning, or rather from a roster standpoint, because you're not going to tell me Cam Newton can't compete with Gardner Minshew. I mean, of course he can. It'd just be a matter of whether Jay Gruden, a new offensive coordinator down there, likes Cam's style, thinks as though that would be a good fit, because they are a run-centric offense, play-action-pass type offense that would fit Cam perfectly. The other team that would make a lot of sense on paper to me, that isn't an obvious starting job, obviously, is the LA Rams. Sean McVay, Cam Newton, I think would be a perfect fit theoretically and philosophically. Again, run-centric offense. Everything runs through the running back. Play-action pass, movement passes, boots, rollouts. That would be, I mean, Sean would have an absolute field day with that.
I love
it. What do you think, Clinton?
I love it. I'm not
really. I hate
it. I heard you earlier in the show. You think it would be a media disaster. It would cause too many distractions. But Greg, like I said earlier in the program, it's Los Angeles, California. Deal with it. If this guy could make your team better from a backup standpoint, that gives you a different look from an offensive, you know, offensive scheme way, that sure, you're going to have to build up and figure out. But if it's an obvious backup situation slash second gun, if you will, in that, you know, in that offense, if anybody can deal with the noise, I think it's probably Cam Newton. And if you can't deal with the noise, well, then maybe your team's not necessarily going to get that better. I don't think it's a dunk move. And I don't really know what the salary cap implications would be of trying to get him.
It'd be
so
tough.
On and so forth. But I don't think it's as crazy as people think, just because it would cause chaos, you know, in their minds. I think there's a certain amount of chaoticness or sort of chaos that comes with the NFL anyway, that a quarterback situation, you know, exacerbates perhaps, but also might make everybody better. I don't think that this turns me off as much as it does you, George.
Yeah, I just am not feeling it. I just think Goff, the whole thing it's not on sturdy ground, is what I would say.
No,
right?
But when, like, are we going to stop coddling everybody? I mean, it's like, oh, McVay's kind of young. He's got this young guy. They gave him $100 million. Sorry if an MVP comes on and gives you a little bit of pressure on you, so you got to turn up and actually make some daggone plays. This isn't unheard of in the league.
I'm good with competition. I just think that ultimately you're creating, you know, NFL teams hate these distractions, and this would be a huge distraction.
It's not a distraction in the purposes of competition and getting better. That's what I'm saying. He's another player. It'd be one thing.
No, he's not. He's not another player. Stop.
What I'm saying is that it's not like they're bringing in some coach who everybody hates, or they're bringing in some, you know, he's a guy on the field designed to make your team better. And if he can do that, it's not a distraction if it leads to wins. That's what I'm saying. And so ultimately, yes, it could be a problem, but if it's not a problem and your team improves, you've done the right thing. I don't think it's too much to ask coaches to take those gambles and manage those humans in that way beyond just creating X's and O's. I think that's part of the job.
I don't think McVay would have an issue with it. I just think that they would create. I think he can make it all work. Like, don't get me wrong, even though I think it would take more work to design something for Cam than what they normally do.
Rams. Cam's Rams.
No, I'm not
Cam's
feeling
Rams,
it.
Greg.
I just think you're causing a ruckus for no reason. You're crazy.
No, fair enough. It would be a lot, but I do think it could have value. And Cam Newton's a former MVP. It's worth taking a risk on.
All right, man. Thank you for hanging out. Go enjoy the ocean this weekend with, I know Bergman was out there.
100% going to the beach based on Bergman's suggestion.
Yeah, to watch the glowing algae. Go enjoy that. Just be careful. Don't get on the sand. There's $1,000 fine for that. Don't do that.
I might dive in, though. See y'all later.
All right, man. See you. Take care. Clinton Yates with us here. All right, coming up next, we're going to get into some deep dive. We're going to get into a deep dive with our analytics expert, Andre Snellings, about the Lakers, about the Clippers, and about the last dance in Jordan and how all that would play out in this era. We'll get to that. Plus, the Cowboys are doing something the Lakers would never do. I'll tell you what that's about in just a moment as well. Stick around. Sedano, back in 4 minutes.